Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, sorry I'm late. I had to make sure I got my rental van from Hertz, and they are a little late getting it. So sorry I'm late. I guess I'm going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks and then show up unannounced.
Yeah.
Make everyone upset, including myself, and waste everyone's time.
Hopefully she didn't have a, you know, long-term rental on that, because it was kind of a, aside from the quarantining, it was a pretty quick turnaround.
I'd say.
Yeah. I'm late. Had trouble remembering even that she was on this episode with everything that's gone on this week.
I tried to actively not remember she was on this episode, and I did not succeed, my friends.
Oh, to go back a week when we just had concern about how much coverage we were going to give Heather Martin. So it's been a week.
It's been a week. It's been a week for Bachelor Nation. It's been an unfortunate week. It's been an unpleasant week. It's been a horrifying week, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And it really all, we recorded on Wednesday. None of us, we recorded with Brian Scally, had seen anything come out at that point about Chris Harrison's interview. But I think it was released on Wednesday. I'm just not sure what time, but it was everywhere Thursday. So,
yeah. And if you'd missed this interview, it was with Rachel Lindsay on Extra. They released the whole interview on YouTube as to kind of
no edits.
Be like, hey, we didn't edit this at all. This is what was said. And what was said was extremely disappointing. Mm-hmm. The setup, for those who haven't seen it, Chris Harrison, I believe, like, unprompted, started talking about Rachel from this season, Rachel Kirkconnell.
I think she asked his opinion on, and maybe we should go back to, you know, what surfaced about Rachel, because I don't think we've covered that here, because when we first, what first came out was like a TikTok video, and there wasn't really anything to sort of validate whether that's true or not. But then since that surfaced, multiple other people came forward, more photos surfaced about Rachel Kirkconnell's past Instagram likes, Instagram posts, that there was kind of a scrubbing done and some photos that came out, and really the most damning one that was right, I think, prior to this interview was that she attended a antebellum Old South party, which was actually, this was in 2018. It was banned by the sorority in 2016, yet this was still held. Basically glorifying the Old South. Antebellum is pre-slavery, or yeah. It's in pre, you know,
like alongside slavery.
Alongside slavery, yeah. Pre-abolition.
And Rachel attended these parties along with many other people. And this is obviously very not great. Chris Harrison, asked Bachelor Nation to give Rachel Kirkconnell grace in this.
She's just a young girl, he said.
And we are looking at it through the lens of 2021 instead of 2018, which was, it was 5 years ago, if you can believe that. 2018 was five whole years ago.
I can't do that. That math doesn't add up. There's a lot of fudge statistics. Now.
It wasn't acceptable then. 50 million people did not attend these parties in 2018. The grace that Chris Harrison feels Rachel deserves is grace that has not been afforded to many Black men, Black women, Black non-binary folks for centuries. And it's especially something that a lot of people have began to take notice in the last couple of years, with the rise of videos of police brutality. That grace is often not afforded to minorities. And the fact that Chris was asking Rachel Lindsay, the first Black bachelorette, to give Rachel this grace.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like guilt her into giving the grace.
Right. Like, oh, you'll have a chance to speak to her later. And he even said to Rachel, Lindsay, who are you to, you know, judge? And then kind of tried to change, like, who are we or who am I? But the fact that he didn't seem to see anything wrong with this, he seemed more concerned with, oh, they're going after this poor girl's, like, voting records and her parents' voting records. Seemed like he was pretty concerned about things coming back on him and the woke police coming after him.
Said woke police a lot, didn't he?
Yeah. That's probably the drinking game for that interview.
Amy, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like I can and say that we do believe in accountability and, you know, that people do make mistakes and it's possible for people to atone for those mistakes. And Rachel did release a statement. We're not going to read it. You can seek it out. It's not for us to accept that apology. It wasn't written for us. It's not for us. We will not be accepting it. But it's how she continues in working in anti-racism. And is she actually going to take those steps to follow through and, you know, do the things that she needs to do, talk to the people she needs to talk to, understand what it is that got people upset. Chris Harrison also released a statement.
He kind of had the first initial statement, like, pretty vague, just sort of like, oh, I guess people didn't like this interview kind of statement, which was really insufficient. Didn't seem like he was actually apologetic, then had a second statement.
Or understand why people were upset. And it makes me think that he's just saying sorry to placate people without actually reflecting on why what he said was hurtful. I think Rachel made a great point in that interview where she said, if I went to one of those parties, what role would I be playing there? And Chris basically had no answer. It's not Rachel's job, not Rachel Lindsay's job, to constantly having to be this voice in Bachelor Nation. But
they put it on her. People put it on her. Bachelor Nation puts it on her. And yeah, like she said, she's like, I'm effing tired.
And she deserves to be tired. She deserves to have that burden lifted off of her shoulders. What she has been doing for years now is, it's so sad that she's been having to do it by herself, basically, it seems like.
And that's the other side of it. Until Tayshia and Matt James were cast, it was like she was also just held up as like, look, you know, we've had a black lead before. Yeah. So we'll trot her out when we need to. And then also if there's something we need comment on, you know. So, and then another thing I heard her say in speaking afterwards, and she, go check out her podcast, Higher Learning, where she discusses this so that she doesn't have to say any more on the matter. But it was a really great listen. She talked about how Black women are not afforded they aren't given the grace to, you know, kind of show their true emotions. She couldn't react how she wanted to react in that interview, or people would have stopped listening to what he was saying, so that she had to remain calm because there was some criticism of her just like, oh, you didn't stand up to that, or you didn't, you know, but she just like held back, let him talk and really speak for himself. And his words spoke volumes. You know, it was like a lot of people are reacting to what he said, like, oh, I can't believe, you know, there was no PR person. He has media training. But it's like, it's not just that I can't believe he said that because he should be PR trained. It's these are his beliefs, you know, it's reflecting on that he didn't do any work when the franchise is supposed to be, you know, turning this new leaf and saying that they're, you know, changing their commitment. They heard the batch diversity calls and petitions earlier in 2020. Obviously, he wasn't part of those trainings or anything like that. He sees it more as like, oh, I guess we have to do this because of the woke police. kind of thing. This is just a little check mark on our list of things we have to do, and doesn't actually like internalize any of that. So, yeah, needless to say, we're very upset with who is helming this franchise right now and how it kind of reflects on. I don't know. Nothing will change if, you know, that's kind of
the face of the franchise doesn't believe in what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it's unfair to put, and we want them to include more people of color on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. It's unfair of, it's unfair for these people to have to go on this show when the face of the show doesn't believe in their lived experiences, if that makes sense. Like, they know that guy isn't going to be standing in their corner.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to defend the Rachel Kirkconnells instead of the Rachel Lindsays.
Yeah, and a lot of people are speculating, like, he was sent in specifically, like, my job is to defend this woman. It's like, he did it. He did his best to defend her when there is no defense to that. So whether it's, okay, she makes it far, so we don't want it to reflect badly on us. I don't know. But
I mean, they don't want another Garrett, but I feel like that's what we're getting.
It feels like, that way.
Yeah. But the women of this season, they put out a statement. They said, "We are the women of Bachelor season 25. 25 women who identify as BIPOC were cast on this historic season that was meant to represent change. We are deeply disappointed and want to make it clear that we denounce any defense of racism, any defense of racist behavior. Denies the lived and continued experiences of BIPOC individuals. These experiences are not to be exploited or tokenized. Rachel Lindsay continues to be an advocate with grace for individuals who identify as BIPOC within this franchise. Just because she is speaking the loudest doesn't mean she is alone. We stand with her, we hear her, and we advocate for change alongside her." So all of the women, I think for the most part, posted a statement. We stand with them. We stand with Rachel. We will continue to support Rachel. You should also continue to support Rachel and the other women of color on this season. If you like them, follow them on Instagram. Those numbers matter.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel has still not hit 1 million followers on Instagram.
Right. She's at the Rach Lindsay. So go hit that follow.
Follow her. Double tap any post that's an ad from her. Get her those engagements. Make her some money. She deserves it. She has put up with some pure bullshit from this franchise.
Mm-hmm. And she's essentially said, you know, there's contractually, there's some things I have, but after that, I'm out. And I do not blame her, because she does have her Bachelor Happy Hour podcast, I believe, is what would be the only thing. Right now, maybe tied, but
yeah, it would suck to lose her in this franchise, because she is so wonderful and so smart and so eloquent and perfectly encapsulates what we need from this franchise and who should be leading this franchise. But I can't blame her for a single second for just being tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not be?
Right. Yeah, and another woman who's been doing amazing work is Taylor Nolan. She had the Black Chalurettes, Michaela from the Black Chalurettes. I can't even say it very well, but podcast. They basically broke down line by line of the interview with Rachel Lindsay, Chris Harrison's statements, why they're so wrong. So if you are in the camp of like, oh, what did he say that's so wrong? I doubt that people are, because you just listen to it and you have to hit pause. You're like, I can't believe this is coming out of his mouth.
And if you don't think he said anything wrong, like, I don't think you've made it this far into our podcast. Like, I think you quit.
You're not our listeners. So,
So check those out. Check out Charlene Joint's blog on All the Pretty Pandas. It's not the responsibility of women of color and people of color to teach white people why these things are wrong, but when these women are putting their own mental health, you know, on the back burner to put out these things, to put out this media, to put out these podcasts and these blog posts, read them, take them into account, learn from them, listen to these women, and believe what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. It was really neat to see all the women, all the BIPOC women of the current season come out with a statement. That's not really anything we've seen before. And I know Rachel Lindsay was really moved by that. We also then saw later that same day, I believe it was the men of Tayshia and Claire season come out with a statement as well, stating that they do not condone what Chris Harrison said or these actions, and they stand with Rachel Lindsay as well. So it makes me hopeful that there will be changes to come. And then the one thing I think notable from Chris Harrison's second statement is that he said he is stepping down for a period of time, will not be at the after the final rose. So that's the only period of time we know of, is it's going to at least extend to the after the final rose special. We don't know who is filling in or how that will be handled. Yeah. Any thoughts on that? We've seen petitions to fire Chris Harrison. I do think there needs to be accountability. People have been fired for less, for sure, in media.
Yes, and I think that the Women Tell All and After the Final Rose, they are meant to be a safe space for the cast. And with so many women of color on this season, I don't think Chris Harrison is the right person to facilitate the conversations that are necessary.
I believe Women Tell All is already filmed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that'll be strange. But yeah, I agree. And it was really just to see that 25 BIPOC contestants, which in a typical season, you might just only have 25 contestants. So it's like we see the change that we wanted for casting. But if you don't have that support to share their stories in the correct way, they still are not getting the airtime equal to, you know, on par with the percentage.
Well, I mean, like, think of that stat. I can't remember if you had just sent it to me or we talked about it, where Sarah still had a majority of the screen time and she hasn't been on in weeks. Right. And so a couple of the pillars of the Bachelor Diversity Campaign, and you guys should check that out, follow them, check out all of the amazing work that they are doing, support them. Some of what they want include more people of color behind the scenes, especially in production, to have these stories told. It's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially when we're now down to the final four, the majority are BIPOC, and we are not seeing, you know, the edits up to this point do not reflect that. You know, MJ's getting for. You know, Victoria,
we're barely seeing an edit of Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's his season. Like those moments of the end caps, I feel like have been so excellent this season. And those are like the only glimpses of personality we were able to get.
Right. They have to overload him with random people showing up instead and getting his reaction to that when, just let the moments breathe and we can see how he really is interacting with his cast. So, all right, let's see. Oh, another podcast I was going to mention is Rachel's husband, Brian Abasolo, has a podcast with Mike Johnson. So they also touch on that. You know, Brian talks about losing respect for Chris Harrison. Obviously, I think we all did. And just, you know, admiring Rachel in that moment. And we get to hear from Mike's thoughts on it as well. So also a clickbait. That was kind of the podcast we made fun of because it was like the most random array of hosts. Tayshia, this was prior to her being named the Bachelorette, Joe and Hannah Ann. But now Hannah Ann has a permanent replacement, who is Natasha from Colton season. She's amazing. So I actually listen to that from time to time. I think that now they found like a good mix of hosts. So I have to laugh because it's like a lot of Joe, grocery store Joe, being a little thirsty. But other than that, Natasha and Tayshia are really amazing. I would nominate either of them to fill in as a replacement. But they also talk about it. So I love that so many people are feeling comfortable to speak up about it. So many, you know, Batch Nation people did make statements denouncing Chris Harrison's words and being disappointed. So,
and we owe them our responsibility to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're speaking out when they don't have to. They don't owe us anything, but we owe them listening to what they're saying and taking it in. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see, any other Batch Nation news, Haley?
I don't even know. I
have one other.
Oh, what do you got?
Leslie had her baby.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. A baby girl named Nora. Congrats to them. Mm-hmm. Love Leslie. I'll keep on loving Leslie. Yes.
So hard to shift gears to get into the episode. Did you find it hard to watch the episode with in light of everything?
I wouldn't say when I was watching, I was having a hard time. Mm-hmm. But all day yesterday, I really didn't want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so much so that I said to Ethan, I was like, I don't know if I can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he basically said, like, you have a responsibility to talk about it. You know what's wrong. Talk about it. And he's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sucks. It gets old. Not even defending the franchise, but it's just, this franchise can be such shit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, what's the point?
Right.
Why are we doing it to ourselves? Why are we putting these women through this? For what? I don't know. I hope after this season, the production team on The Bachelor really takes into account what people have been saying about last season, what made that great, this season, what made it not great.
Mm-hmm.
And just really evaluate what it is they're looking for. This isn't early 2000s, early aughts reality television anymore, where people are looking for like the Simon Cowell telling the 16-year-old girl that she's shit at everything. Like, that's not what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
One, like, we want real stories. We want to see real people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
And this episode was shit and made me sad. Was it a shitty episode? I agree. I don't know.
It was, because it was just like, it felt so, I don't know, rushed in a way. Like, why the fact that we're at hometowns now doesn't feel like it's on par with how the season's been moving. I felt like earlier in the season, we got to see certain storylines develop, certain relationships develop. And then we lost some of those people. Like, we were invested in Kayla, in Lauren, and then we saw them like get eliminated without a reason why.
I mean, like, Abigail is the biggest, like,
this is God, WTF
I feel
moment.
Bad for her that.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her because I feel like she got led on throughout this whole season. And like, I know that it's not Matt James giving out those day cards every single week.
Right.
But it seems wild to me that Serena gets a second date before Abigail gets one, and like, what, Abigail's just gonna be like, yeah, you never gave me a one-on-one, like, come on, meet my family. Like, that's not going to happen. Abigail saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah. That's why she started that conversation,
and I'm proud of her for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Was Matt gonna just like keep her around? Like, was he gonna give her, not give her a rose at the rose ceremony, and just like not give her an explanation? Like,
I think it was so weird to me when she was like, yes, this has been a hard week. And he was just like, why do you say that? Like,
I don't know, Matt. Maybe because I still haven't had a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And on this effing group day. Heather has spent more time with you than I have.
Yeah. That was really weird. That was a weird way to go about things.
Well, and just,
If he wanted to go on a one-on-one, I think he would have some say to say, like, no, I don't want to go on a one-on-one.
Yeah, or say, like, what about Abigail? And what he said to me did make sense, which was that I felt confident in our connection, that I, like, took that time to explore the other connections. And doing that, I lost a connection with you, and now I just can't pick that back up. And that makes sense to me, and I think that was honest.
Okay, see, I had a totally different reaction. I was like, whoa, this is, like, such a line. Like it just felt like, oh yeah, I was so confident in us that I just, like, felt so happy to, like, pursue things with somebody else.
I think that was, like, a great thing to do.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, it makes sense, at least to me, like, that reasoning.
Yeah. Maybe he's a little too unfiltered. That's his newness of being, you know, out of the franchise. Like, I think it's probably true. Like, oh, I was going to, like, explore others first. And then it's like, oh, I kind of didn't get around back to you.
Yeah.
But
it made sense to me. I don't agree with it. I don't condone it. I think he should have proposed to Abigail on the first night.
Yeah. They just had such chemistry the first night. And so it's weird to, like, not ever see that.
Well, and those, like, little moments, too. We'd see those, like, little side moments. And she got that first group date rose. And it's just kind of like, what happened? What happened?
And she shared so much about herself, even in what we did get to see. And then there was speculation early on, like, okay, if she's not with him, like, she'd be a great bachelorette. So it's weird, like, if they wanted her for that.
I'm all on Abigail bachelorette train now.
Yeah, I think so. There's still some great choices. I think that, I hope it's not decided yet, because we don't know, like, you know, I hope they're rethinking a lot of things. So, but yeah.
We just totally skipped over Heather.
The one thing I want,
what a waste of time.
It was such a waste of time. So she interrupts. Piper is understandably upset. We talked about that last week.
And Piper talked about it too on the Bachelor Happy Hour. She said that she doesn't feel like she reacted appropriately, but she had just been in those situations where, like, a classically beautiful white woman has been picked over her, and how it's frustrating and upsetting. And, you know, that totally makes sense to me. And
Heather didn't acknowledge her thought at all.
Yeah.
It's
unfair for the producers to throw Heather into the situation. Sure, she said yes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think the women reacted in a great way towards her. I feel like they would say the same thing. They were just really frustrated, and they took it out on Heather. Not that I feel like she was talked to correctly, but it was just... It was all a mess.
She came out of the limo with Michelle, Ryan, Brittany, Catalina.
Yeah.
I think it would have been, she would have been treated the same, except she would have, which wasn't great either. But, you know, I think they would have come around. They would have probably given her some shit about, like, why are you back for a second time? Yeah. But this is right before hometowns. It's a ridiculous time for anyone to show up and think they have a shot. But Heather seemed to think she did. It was a lot of, like, it wasn't very convincing to me. Like, oh, hey, I have a good reference. Hannah Brown, hey. And then I'm really taking this seriously. It's like, well, so is Matt James. He's been on the show. So, you know, like, to come in and say, like, oh, I'm taking this really seriously. I think we could be good together. It's disregarding all his progress that he's made so far.
Mm-hmm.
To just take that. And think, like, it would basically say, like, I don't have, if he were to, like, take her in, and this is, I think, what the women were reacting to, if he were to accept her onto the show at that point, it sort of invalidates what they've built that far, you know?
Totally. So. Absolutely. It was a complete waste of time for everyone involved, including us. I am including us in that.
My one question, was this some marketing plan of Heather's for... Apparently she has a clothing line because she's wearing a shirt on her Instagram. Hey, it worked to this point because I looked at it. She has a sweatshirt that says, like, do it scared. Like, ooh, like, do things when even though you're scared to do them. Like,
I will not do things when I'm scared.
Yeah.
I am scared for a reason, my friends, and I will not be.
You don't buy into that motto.
You I'm not facing any fucking fears, okay? I'm not doing it. I'm too old.
Well, and I don't think,
I have fears for a reason.
Her message, like, doesn't play out because it's like, yeah, you look kind of ridiculous. So
also it may it like the wording is not quippy or fun.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like the word like if it was a PR person in her team that said she should do that, like fire that person. They hate you.
Right.
They hate you.
Yeah. Just go on VIP like a normal person.
Yeah. God, just go on VIP.
Yeah. So that's the Heather storyline.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All the women were turned on after he eliminated. Basically told Heather, you need a little time to think about it. How much time do you think he took standing out there waiting? And then because it's not like he like asked her to go to the rose ceremony and just rejected her. He basically had her turn around and leave, but just like let her have a little breathing room, I guess.
Yeah, a little time for her to get yelled at by the women.
Yeah. I think there's some clever editing going on there, too. Like, the bitch, why are you here? I don't know that that was said to her face by Kat or Kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she leaves and seemed to be okay about it. And then we have our rose ceremony. Michelle and Piper already have their rose. I did like that Matt came in and was like, Piper, can we finish our conversation? Even though they didn't have a regular cocktail party after that. He at least like showed her that respect to finish up their convo. He calls Bree, Rachel, Serena P, Kit, Jasenia, and Abigail. So we lost Chelsea and Serena C. So
I am upset to lose Chelsea.
Definitely. Another if one we didn't see enough.
If I don't see her
of.
In Bachelor in Paradise, it's a travesty. And I will be emailing ABC.
But again, it's like, if changes aren't made, do any of these contestants want to come on? Like,
we don't want them to have to go through the pain of going.
So then we have the next week. We have two one-on-ones. We have a group date. So I think everyone, viewers and contestants, assumed that it would be Abigail and Jasenia getting the one-on-ones.
Well, and they made it look like in the preview it was Abigail.
I don't know how they did that. I also thought that it was Abigail on the yoga date. Did they do like a quick cutaway or something?
I think it was just like they showed a clip of Serena like hugging Matt where her hair was kind of covering her face and where she could look a little Abigail-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're sitting there and the first person to get the one-on-one card is Serena P. And yeah, that didn't sit well. Then you know, if you're Abigail or Jasenia, that at least one of you is not going to get the one-on-one. So I guess that's probably why they do it.
And I thought Serena had a very like empathetic reaction, which was like Abigail and Serena, I'm sorry that, or Jasenia, like, I'm sorry. I know this does not feel good, but like, I am excited to have more time.
Yeah. And I really like her. I mean, she's probably like, I haven't seen her name come up as much, but I would love to see her as a bachelorette. She's refreshing. I think she, you know, as we see in this date, does something that I don't think we would see from many contestants.
No,
I don't think we have seen that. So, they have a tantric yoga date, and we've talked about this before. This would be a date that we would dread. We usually see this one.
I'm very impressed with Serena's flexibility. Very, very impressed. But yeah, she did not enjoy it. I would not have enjoyed it. And I'm glad that she told Maz she didn't enjoy it and why she didn't enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. And
good on her.
He was taken aback. But I liked how he reacted to it as well, at least in the moment with her. Because he was just like, oh, what did you think about that? Because he loved it. And then she was like, okay, check that off the list. Never have to do that again. And so she had a sense of humor about it, but really went into, like, I'm not, like, maybe as physical or into PDA. That's not how I express myself or show affection. And, you know, it was just uncomfortable for me. I was in my head. So she told us, told that to us in her ITM, and she told it to Matt. And she basically said, you know, why lie about something like that? But I feel like, yeah. I don't know that I could even do that in a situation like that.
I'd be like, oh yeah, it was fine. Yeah.
It's great to like feel closer to you or something, like, oh, it's not my, like what I would choose to do. But you know, I don't think I could be as blunt about that in that setting. I feel like you want to like make everything perfect when you're like, get that precious one-on-one time. Mm-hmm. So I like that she felt confident to do that.
We saw in the preview a suitcase rolling away. At any point, did you think it was going to be Serena?
I didn't. I don't know if I thought there was like going to be a 2-on-1. Usually on, like, the fact that he gave her a second one, I just thought like that's because he's like solid with her. But then he did kind of say, you know, I worked myself into the friend zone or something with her. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to see, seemed like he picked maybe this date or thought she would be a good one for this date, even though he doesn't probably get to pick, but to sort of force that, like, let's be sexy together kind of thing. And
ugh, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
Having to be sexy.
We haven't been like as physical as some other people. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't. Yeah. Did you think it was her?
I mean, not really, not as, especially once I kind of figured out that it was just like, we knew Jasenia was going to get a date. So I was kind of like, you know.
We really haven't seen much of her. So, yeah, I thought that was going to be Jasenia at that point. So let's see. He gives her the rose. Then they have a little ice skating moment. I know you went ice skating this week.
I did. What fun. Yeah. Ethan and I went ice skating. I guess it was yesterday. It was family day here in Ontario. Oh. So we went skating and I'm a bad skater.
Yeah, I can relate. I don't know. I figure skates, they're so like floppy. Like I just like worry about my ankles. I don't know the last time I've gone skating.
I don't think your skates are getting tied tight enough.
That might be, but... probably like, you know, secondhand skates, probably not the best, but I do continue to be impressed with Nima Collin with like the variety of things they have there.
Me too. This place seems bomb.
Yeah. So then we have the group date. And let's see. So
did we miss a day part?
I was gonna say, like, I don't have anything in my notes. Like, what did they do?
I don't know. I think we missed a day part.
Hmm. They must have done something. But it's escaping me. I'm just thinking of like the second part, which basically turned into a one-on-one again, which annoyed me. So we see that the group date has everybody except Jasenia. So Jasenia knows she's getting the one-on-one, but I think, yeah, at that point, maybe he chose Serena P because it's like, I'm going to choose somebody that I am going to advance, so I don't have to have like two painful one-on-ones, you know? Might as well get the extra time with someone that you're really into. But yeah, and then, yeah, it's too late at that point if to have a one-on-one right before hometowns, I think. It would have to be really amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think it was more just like cocktail party where we hear his conversations with all the different women and have a few different revelations. So Brie tells him that she that week resigned from her position. So she must have had like a certain amount of time she could take a leave of absence. And then would have had to like call, you know, which don't quit your job if you're going to be eliminated night one, like see what happens. So I kind of like that we know, like kind of she hung on to it as long as she could. Do you think that is the right call? It sounded like she had her dream job.
Your dream job, but also, as I found out this year, your dream job. I mean, you always see that quote, right?
Right.
Of like Lady Gaga, like, you know, invest in your career because like a guy could pick up and leave you, but your career won't. Well, guess what? My career picked up and left me this year.
Yeah.
It left me. I got left by my dream job. Like, so I don't know. Like, do you believe, like, just, you got to follow your heart in the moment, right? You got to follow your gut. If she thinks that like she has a real thing with Matt, then sure. If she doesn't, if she wants to pull a Kit, then pull a Kit. But like, I can't tell her that it was the wrong choice. I mean, this could open a lot of doors for her. And I hope Brie has a lovely and successful career after this, no matter what path she chooses.
Yeah. And I still don't know exactly, like, does she work at Twitter? I don't know. But she worked somewhere that was high profile that, you know, was mentioned preseason. But it takes me way back to Allie's season. Allie was on Jake's season. She worked at Facebook. She's talked about how she was like hung out on Mark Zuckerberg's couch, was watching the Obama get elected. So she like had a high up job at Facebook. She was kind of there early days though. And on Jake's season, I don't think she had to quit her job, but then to be Bachelorette, she did.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's other opportunities that can come. Brie feels strongly about Matt. I felt his reaction was a little like, oh, thanks for sharing that with me. Like, it was a little underwhelming. I feel like that was a really big step. So it worried me, the fact that he wasn't like, I'm really grateful that you're still here kind of thing. It didn't seem like it was the level of like, if he's going to choose her kind of thing. So, because I feel like I would have like a lot of guilt if I was like not thinking, you know, how like, the lead will let someone go if they've left their child back at home or something like that. So like, okay, I don't want you to like make this decision if I'm not there, but she already did it. So he couldn't even, you know, change it anyway, but hopefully there's good things for Brie ahead one way or the other. And then Abigail talks to him as we talked about. So just to kind of wrap that up, he says that, you deserve someone who's going to put you first. So she kind of gets her answer before the rose ceremony. We think she was expecting it, but I don't know. It's just so rough to see not where I thought that was going, you know, at the beginning of the season, midway through the season. It was just like, that was the one person I thought for sure had a one-on-one on the way. So very weird. And then I felt like the goodbye was odd. Like it just didn't seem like he was that emotional over it. So.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like complete almost. It was just a, like, I hate to say this, but it felt like television blue balls. Right? Like, it was just.
Should we still do, like, we haven't done hashtags in a while, but that's a good one.
No, don't do it. Teen girls, if your boyfriend is telling you that he has blue balls and you have to sleep with him or else it'll hurt, don't listen to that asshole. Break up with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where we are with that. Then we have Kit. She kind of laid it all out there with her timeline. Like, she has goals that she wants to get to.
Was she trying to get broken up with?
I don't know, because my read was that she thought she was going to get the group date rose. And then the fact that she didn't get the group date rose, she was like, okay, I'm not his top choice. I'm out kind of thing. Like that gave her, that was my thought, that she was trying to get assurance. Because she said like, okay, he gave me what I needed. He gave me the answers, you know, it didn't throw him off, but, it seemed like she wanted to put it all out there because then if he wasn't into it, he would break up with her. So in a way, like, she didn't want to get broken up with, I don't think, but she didn't want him to like not be aware. I think it was smart. but it, yeah, it was weird to me that she maybe didn't mention it before. It was like going through a list. Okay, well, I have to finish this degree, so there's no kids till I'm 25 or 26.
At least on like ancient at 25 yeah, or 26. Like, did your brain melt out of your ear?
Yeah, totally. It's like, just so you know, I'm not like, I won't have kids for a while. I'm not till I'm 25 or 26. So.
Oh my God. I was like, whoa. I did love the line. Like, I'm an investment.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a long-term investment, not like these other bitches.
Yeah.
I read it like, you have to work for this. And he was just laughing because it's like, I don't think he's not the bachelor coming in that's like,
I'm ready for a child in 3 minutes.
Exactly. Like, I need all these things yesterday.
Yeah, he's probably like, I love this timeline.
Right. Yeah, so I think she was, like, giving him an out if he wanted it. He didn't take it. He didn't say, like, I'm not there with you. So, but then, let's see, did we had a scene with him and Rachel talking. He basically said to her, like, you're who I think about if, like, I'm not with you. I haven't seen him say something like that to anybody else. So I was kind of rolling my eyes just based on everything that we know. Just like, that's not a person I'm rooting for, but, so did we see him talk to, is that everybody? Abigail leaves. He has Bree.
Did you think he was going to send Rachel home after that?
I was like,
maybe, but
no, I didn't. But so they're waiting for the group date rose. He gives it to Rachel. And then, yeah, it was, oh, Michelle. Did we see him with Michelle a little bit? Not too much, I don't think. So they are all just kind of sitting there, like, really upset because their time was cut short. I don't think that's really fair at that point to have, like, another one-on-one and gives, like, somebody extra treatment in, like, the private concert. But she got it. And Kit was, I think, that's when she was like, I have to speak to you before, like, your night is over kind of thing. And she sends herself home. So
I'm fine with that. I love a send home.
Yeah. But it just felt weird in this episode, like, just have, like, back-to-back people going, but
yeah,
I think at that point it's like you don't want to be like cut at the rose ceremony. Oh, it was Piper. That's why am I blanking on Piper? It's that she, I feel like, wasn't really shown too much. Everybody kind of talked about like, oh, what would it be like to meet your family, but then yeah, she's the one who ends up getting cut at the rose ceremony. And then Jesenia was the final one-on-one, and they were drifting. This was a term I didn't know before.
Also, do not sign me up for this.
Yeah.
I sound boring, don't I?
Well, you would do the ice skating.
I would absolutely do the ice skating.
So there's always one date I think we could handle. But that was after tantric yoga. So I don't know. We'd have to like pick and choose what they did. No, that didn't look safe, so I don't think that was like a official racing area, but I don't know where you drift, what's involved.
Not be drifting. I've fishtailed too many times.
Yeah. I think Jesenia said something similar. So she was like, let's just try out making out, like you put me on the hood of the car. How about that? I really liked Jesenia. I just feel like we didn't get to know her very much. It was all tied to MJ, and that kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, again,
I feel like she's definitely paradise material.
Yeah. I think it was like a, you know, we needed more time kind of thing, and that becomes kind of an easy excuse as you get to this point in the season, which really just comes back to the structure of the show and I think this shortened timeline. I still feel like it's shorter than it normally would be when they're traveling. It feels like we don't get as many one-on-ones and he doesn't get as much time with them. So yeah, I didn't really have a shot. And then we get to the rose ceremony and Piper is the one who doesn't get the rose. I really liked Piper as well. What do you think about how she left? Like, very, like, coolly, like,
icy. At that point, can you blame them?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't blame her.
No. And she seemed to just regret, like, letting her, like, being that open and, like, oh, I knew this would happen. So, that, yeah, that made me feel sad because I really liked watching them together. And I think she is somebody I would like to see again in some capacity as well. She also had a great statement out about, like, not being afforded grace, I believe. So she's a good follow. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Who are you rooting for?
Bree?
Okay.
Michelle
is who, but that might be the Minnesota connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said, Chris stepping aside is a step. However, I'm waiting to hear the systematic changes the franchise will be evoking to combat the tokenization of BIPOC individuals. So, Black women in this franchise must always be hyper aware of our grace because no one is extending it to us. So I love that she's speaking out. She said, in light of everything going on, no, I will not be watching tonight's episode. I encourage those who do choose to watch to consider the lens in which each woman is being portrayed. Stay safe and stay well. So, yeah. I don't feel that we've gotten to see, considering how far everyone has gotten and who are the people that we were shown the most. Katie, Victoria, MJ, like, those are the names I feel like that we remember from the cast.
Yeah.
From their, like, non-stories, aside from Katie. But they chose to focus. Like, it's still ridiculous. Sarah, I kept expecting she would come back because it was like, why are they devoting so much time to her?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that is that for this episode. Let's see. Do we have questions? I haven't pulled them up yet.
What? You're just going to breeze on past the draft results?
Probably, since I don't have anyone in there anymore. Yeah. Let's just give it to Mari at this point.
I think Mari is probably going to take the crown.
Yeah. Let's see where we're at with that. Follow at GeorgeCTV to get the full results. So let's see. Where is it, George? All right. Mari has 133. She has Bree and Serena P left. I have 97 points, so I'm just going to hold there because I lost everybody. Unless Abigail becomes Bachelorette, maybe I'll pick up a few. And then Haley, you have Rachel left. You have
what
92.
A thrill for me.
Yeah. And the listeners have Michelle. They have 34
I'm actively
points.
Rooting against myself.
Yeah. So, exactly. Yeah, so we're down to Bree, Serena P, Michelle, and Rachel. And the final four, it's already hometowns next week. We did get to see a fun moment with Michelle in that little end cap with doing push-ups before the toast. I like seeing, like, the women seem to all really be getting along. I felt like it was supportive when they were, you know, people were getting the different dates, or when Jasenia left, mm-hmm. when Abigail left. So I do like that.
Michelle made me laugh so hard in that little end cup.
Yeah.
And then when Bree spit into her drink, like, do you know how many times I've done that? Like, right? 5 billion. She got it everywhere. It was amazing.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see the hometowns and how they're going to do it this time. Do you think they'll do how they did on Tayshia's season, or really class it up a little bit?
I hope they do what they did on Tayshia's season. I enjoyed that. Had a great time.
I enjoyed it too, but I feel like they're trying not to look so low budge now.
I don't care. Be low budge. It's fine.
So, yeah, I want to see how Michelle does Minnesota. I want to see, yeah, these different looks like for Bree's family, it looks like the baby is brought there. So like her mom had the baby, I think.
It didn't even occur to me that's like who the baby was.
Yeah. So this should be interesting. All right, we have questions. Hi ladies. MJ said she had to fluff her hair. Wait, this is from last week. Why am I grabbing that one? Sorry. Redo. Hi ladies. Bree told Matt she quit her job a few days ago. Should she have told him she was considering quitting before she resigned? And how bad would Matt have looked if he didn't give her a rose after she told him she quit? After seeing Matt hit everything in sight while driving, what are the chances he failed his first driving test? And where does tantric yoga rank in the list of things you would do publicly? All right, I think we covered that. And then looking ahead to next week, every season a family member surprises us. So which of the ladies do you think will have a family member that rises as the comical star of the week? Thanks for all the fun times on the podcast. Well, I could say like a different family that probably not comical, but problematic we could predict.
Yeah, I want because Serena's dad didn't want her to go on the show. I'm interested to see what he has to say.
Yeah. Yeah, should Bree have brought it up before?
No? I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
He can't really tell her one way or the other.
Yeah.
I think he probably would have told her to go just because he wouldn't want that pressure.
Yeah.
So maybe it's better she didn't. Yeah. So Matt is kind of dangerous on these driving dates.
UGVs. Definitely would not trust that.
Hannah Lutzky, do you think they could be setting Heather Martin up to be the next Bachelorette?
We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
Well, let's look at Hannah's her argument here. She said she came in, looked gorgeous, wanted a shot at love, and got her heart broken. The girls are mean to her, and she left us feeling kind of bad for her. Do you think production might brought her back to set her up to be the next lead?
I refuse.
I think they would bring her back on a Paradise, but I don't think Heather could.
I'm sure Heather is a lovely individual.
Mm-hmm.
What is she bringing to the role of Bachelorette that we have not seen before?
Being a virgin.
Oh, wow. A virgin. Great. Guess who? I was also an adult virgin, but I didn't make my personality.
Yeah.
Never been kissed. Guess what, Heather? Took me a while, too. I don't see me bragging about it.
You could have used it. Could have gotten on the show.
I'd rather no.
Will Harrington, would either of you put in all the effort Heather did to try and date Matt James, or did she dodge a bullet by not ending up with him? I'm sure he can't be as boring as the edit suggests he is, because it seems like on social media and other media appearances he has a personality. But my God, is he hard/boring to watch?
I would not put in that much effort to date the man I am married to.
No minivans to pick him up at the airport?
No, he's picked me up at the airport. I haven't picked him up at the airport.
But yeah, you have to drive in I think it was a legit wedding dress. And yeah.
We were talking about it because, one of Ethan's friends, her boyfriend might move to the States or whatever, and long distance relationship. And Ethan and I just looked at each other and we're like, I mean, like, I wouldn't date you anymore if you left. Like, what do you mean? He's like, no. We're low effort relationship. Oh, so funny. That's how it works.
Keep it honest. Always a good thing. Do you think Matt's boring?
I think what they've shown has been boring. I don't think Matt's boring.
No.
I feel like we keep seeing those clips of personality. But to be fair, I think every Bachelor's boring. We only like the Bachelor people on their original season because they have more time to give their personality. But we didn't have that opportunity with Matt. So, of course, we think he's boring. But, it's not his fault.
Yeah, and I really think it's lately. Like, I think we started off the season, we saw a lot of fun with him on some of his dates. So I think the exhaustion is probably getting him to him too. And yeah, he has to deal with, like, they didn't need to have Heather on the show. They could have just turned her away. If she wasn't recruited.
What do you mean turned her away? They could have not invited her.
Right, exactly. Like, but they could have even said, like, yeah, it's going to be a no. Like, we have enough. They could have left it on the cutting room floor, too. Like, we didn't need to see any of that. So, it doesn't
really
go anywhere.
You don't think we deserve to see those quarantine bits?
Yeah. You know, if we get through another, if we have another year to go, maybe I'll start practicing, you know, putting a pizza box on my head. But yeah, I don't think we needed it yet. Mackenzie Beyonce Harms. What was more awkward? A, Matt telling Abigail he didn't pick her for a one-on-one because their connection was strong, only to then tell her he has stronger connections with the girls he gave one-on-ones to and she has to leave. Or B, Matt giving Rachel the group date rose and leaving with her to go to a private concert without telling the other girls the date was over for them.
Yeah,
did
we didn't talk about
something.
We didn't talk about this private concert.
Yeah.
Aloe Black, somebody I have heard of.
Yeah, he was on Masked Singer.
Was he really?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was like he's got a really good one.
He's got some real bangers.
What was he? I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, he was a hard to guess one.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, actually somebody we knew. Oh, I also wanted to mention, I don't know who the yoga person was, but I really liked what she was wearing. I was like, that looks really comfortable.
Yeah, we've really just like gone into full loungewear at this point.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to update you that I did buy a matching set of sort of loungewear, but it's like shorts and a shirt.
Excellent.
Made out of terry cloth. So it's like you come out of the shower and you're like, this is like a towel outfit.
Nice. Where'd you get it from?
Forever 21.
Great.
Online. Excellent. Yeah. So, yeah. It's like retirement community chic. So loving it. And what else have I? You started making candles.
Yeah, Ethan, I made some candles.
You're really homesteading over there.
That's where we're at right now. We're making candles.
Yes. Oh, and yes, I told you my Valentine's plans. We went to White Castle. They had a drive-in, old-fashioned drive-in experience where they bring the food out to your car.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Okay, what at White Castle can you eat?
They have veggie sliders. They have impossible sliders also, but I like the actual vegetable ones. You can get them with honey mustard or ranch. So I do the honey mustard.
That sounds delicious.
You can do waffle, like Belgian waffle sandwiches. I eat eggs, so you can have that. Egg and cheese. Yeah, so it's kind of fun. What did you do for Valentine's Day?
What did we do? We went on a hike.
I'm jealous that you had weather that was like tolerable enough to be outside.
It was snowy, but it was sunny.
That's nice.
We looked for a waterfall and we could not find it.
Okay.
And we were both tired. So then we went and bought some wine and then we made dinner. We made some steak and I made a couple of little lobster tails. And then I think we just watched like Superstar all night, honestly.
Nice. Oh, yeah. But going back to the question, maybe the group date rose was more awkward because
I was just like mad for Abigail. Like I wasn't like, oh, this is awkward. I was just like, this is BS.
This is unfair. Yeah. Because it was really awkward with the other women just sitting there like, okay, I guess like, you know,
our night is over. At least they had each other.
Mm-hmm. Randy Knupel, does the girl that gets the second one-on-one during the week leading into hometowns ever get the rose on the date? It seems like such a trend in the past seasons that Jessenia added to.
Yeah, I think that's a really tough spot. Like, you do not want to be at the point where your first one-on-one date's coming the week before hometowns.
Right, right. And yeah, I think
I feel like they could add more one-on-ones. Like, I actually I don't mind when they do the three one-on-ones where there's no rose and then
that's true. One, they used to do that.
Three were like one person's cut or whatever.
I like that better because then it's a little more stakes when you get to the rose ceremony because you're like, okay, you have a one-on-one, but you don't know if you're making it through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And then, yeah, the writing's kind of on the wall for that second one-on-one because it's like, okay, two people already have roses, so I'd have to beat out all these other people. We're all fighting for two spots. So yeah, I do like that way where it was like there would be like maybe a group date with three people and that would be the only rose given out, I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that would be better. All right. Do you have any takes from Doug this week?
I do. Let me just ring them up.
I was going to say a good account to follow mentioned before, but it's really taken off on Instagram. Bachelor Data on Instagram. They had one about like the first impression rose and how far that person usually goes. So really rare for a first impression rose to not get a date at all. The only one maybe was before this was Jason's season. Nikki did not receive a one-on-one. She was sent home on a two-on-one. Yeah. So.
If you like stats, it's a good place to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the other one was Ben's season. Olivia did not receive a one-on-one. She was sent home on a two-on-one. So, yeah, I would have thought she would at least be on a two-on-one.
Well, yeah, anything.
We didn't have a real two-on-one this season either.
No, I mean, I'm not that heartbroken about that.
Yeah.
All right, Doug. Why was there no Chris Harrison apology at the start of the episode? He could have easily taped something and added that in. Do you think he should have done that?
Probably should have done that. I think they're like, well, we don't want to draw attention to it if people haven't been on the internet and they have a large audience that has no idea that this happened, I think. So,
yeah.
Although this has made like more national headlines, like, but I was really upset on the day, like that interview came out and saw that, like, I was like, okay, I want to look at trending topics. And it was like the trending for Bachelor still was like, Matt James is making fun charcuterie boards. I'm like, why is this trending? Like, something's wrong. Like, is he paying off things to, like, not have his name out there? Like, I mean, he has a lot of money, so I don't know. But I was like, this should be, like, everywhere. So, yeah. Do you think he should have? Were you thinking that way? Like, were you thinking there might be something?
It didn't occur to me. But once I saw what Doug said, I think that it could have been addressed in some way.
I would think it's coming. So we know he's not coming on after the final rose. I would think there would be some kind of statement. They'd have to explain why he's not there.
Yeah,
so
that's true. When Matt said he was happy with how everyone reacted to Heather, was he referring to when production made her drive a van or when the group of women refused to say anything nice or to when Kit called her a bitch? But I think Kit's comment was a bit of a cut.
Yeah. I don't remember him saying he was, I remember him apologizing like, sorry, you know, but did he, I don't remember him saying that he was like, thanks for how you treated her or anything like that.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Were you more disappointed that Abigail was sent home because Matt was too clueless to get to know her, or that Serena P somehow does not know how to skate, even though she's Canadian? I think if you watched me skate, you'd be ashamed too.
Yeah.
Can you skate backwards, Amy?
No.
Yeah, neither can I. Who was more blindsided, Piper when she headed straight for the car, or the bear that gave its life to make Kit's fur coat?
Ooh. Yeah, did Kit get to wear everything she wanted to wear? And she's like,
okay. Maybe she like got to the end of her closet. Yeah. And yeah. She's like, I gotta go home. And then Doug has a serious comment for us. Lastly, a serious question. Do you think with numerous cast statements and Chris stepping aside that this could be the end of The Bachelor? I feel like there has never been a better time for one of the other networks to produce a valid competitor of a dating show that actually honors those participating in their diverse backgrounds while allowing for love to flourish without creating ridiculous characters and perpetuating privilege. Just my two cents. Oh, yeah. And Abigail deserved better. I think Doug makes a great point there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think it's the end of the Bachelor franchise. I just think that they really need to pivot or else their product cannot succeed any longer.
I mean, there's a problem if, like, your show can't succeed without Chris Harrison. I mean, he's just a generic white guy host. Like, there's no, like...
There was
we've
one
been criticizing him forever.
Yeah, we have. There was one season of The Bachelor Canada where they just straight up didn't have a host.
Yeah. That's not what people are tuning in for. Like, the only time I remotely like enjoyed him was on Tayshia's season doing those ridiculous things. Like, it's only if he's making fun of himself. Like, I don't think we need to have... Now it's like, it's problematic for knowing what I know. For him to be weighing in or counseling the lead, it's just, yeah, without yeah. serious work to, yeah, counteract what, you know, his feelings.
It's been going on for 20 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he doesn't make the show. So, if they can do better without him, I might be leaning that way. So there hasn't really been like, there've been so many dating shows in terms of competing against, like they can't take the exact format, but a lot of shows mm-hmm. have done that anyway. Mm-hmm. And they haven't really succeeded. I think maybe it's more like the name Bachelor, the Bachelorette, and people just feeling comfortable with that. But do I think it's the end? I don't think so. Do you?
Not yet, no.
No, but, you know, we talk about this with Survivor. Can they do it with another host? I think it could go on with another host if Jeff wanted to leave. So, and I think it's a moment when all shows should be taking note of, like, who do you have at the helm? What do you stand for? And, you know, are you really committed as... You know, are these just statements you're putting out or are you really doing the work? So,
mm-hmm.
yes. All right. Hometown dates next week.
Hometown dates.
What are you up to in the meantime? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @astrong_. Not really doing much podcast wise besides this week, I think. Just kind of have a nice little relaxing break.
Mm-hmm. Asia and I will be back covering Married at First Sight. Bombshell this season, one of the grooms has a baby on the way with his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so.
Okay, I'm going to have to listen to the podcast for sure. We'll see you if I watch the show.
Right.
Podcast definitely happening.
Yeah, so. Not sure why he was cast on the show, but yeah, they might be leaning more towards just having drama and not really caring about matching people up at this point either, but it is entertaining to say the least. So that'll be follow the, you know, if you're already subscribed to Reality TV Rehab Ups, then you'll get that in your feed as well. And you can follow me on Twitter at @RGPRecapper. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please hit up those resources that we talked about at the top of the show and let us know your thoughts. And we will be back next week. Bye.
Bye.